listening to Gillespie Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com. And welcome to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. It is another week in Internet Radio Excellence, because that's what we do here on Gillespie. With us this week, we're having our full crew for the first time in a long time. But I would like to introduce, of course, the Robin to my Batman, Mark Warner. Mark, how are you doing?
Whatever, Josh. I don't want to talk to you right now. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
This is typical Mark for the last few weeks. And joining us fresh off her visit to the wonderful Washington, D.C. area. Basically, since we're going along the Batman theme, we'll call her the Catwoman to this crew.
That might be extra appropriate tonight since I have a friend in the room with me that may be chiming in.
It is the Smoozy Q, Susie
Hello.
Moore. How are you doing, Susie?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm just doing fantastic. Mark is doing great. Mr. Chipper over there is...
That's right.
I think he's just pissed that Michael Phelps really blew it. Seriously, I got the Olympics going on, and you know what? There's nothing better than eating Ben and Jerry's Bonnaroo Buzz while a bunch of gymnasts try to work their butts off and try to win gold. It's awesome.
It's like the best of both worlds.
It really is, you know?
I have booze.
Even better.
Mark has booze. Mark, are you providing some sort of feedback there with your booze?
I don't know what's going on.
Getting a little bit of a buzz from you.
I didn't know what that was.
Buzz,
are you
yeah.
Supposed
yeah.
to get a little bit of a buzz from the booze or what?
Drink. Anyway, so yeah, we've added Susie to the cast. Susie, you first made your appearance at the SGB Summit, doing a couple of interviews with Mark and with the Thomas LeDuc.
Yeah.
First of all, how were you able to actually have any sort of cogent thought with those two around?
It's difficult. I will tell you, it was a challenge, but I tried to rally for the cause and tried to make some sense.
Well, I hope that people, everyone, I'm sure our listeners are aware of Smoozy. If you listen regularly to the Snark Factor and you're in the chat room, Susie has always been part of the chat room. She is a regular. She is a regular on Twitter. You've seen her at the conferences, but this is the first time we get to hear you.
Like, that's right.
Legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
So, Smoozy Q. First of all, where does the whole Smoozy Q come from? Give us a little bit of background.
When I started out on Twitter, I did something really, really boring. I used my initials in my birth year, and not only was it, you know, extremely boring, it's very hard to pronounce. And so, not too long into getting the hang of Twitter, I decided I needed something a little more catchy. Mm-hmm. And since my name is Susie Moore,
yes,
I decided to take the S and the M-O-O together and turn it into kind of a little nickname.
Well, it works. So
that's what I went with.
The Smoozy Q.
Yes.
And you have your own blog.
I do.
Q with a View, is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, tell us, how long have you been blogging? What does the Q blog about?
Well, I've been blogging actually for quite a while. I've always written for my own peace of mind, if you will. Mm-hmm. But several years ago, I started out with a blog on a political message board that I've been a part of for many years, and actually I'm a moderator of at this point, and tried my hand at it there and did that for a little while. And then I kind of got away from it. And then I got back to the writing more with a personal blog, and I still have that one too, but I don't advertise that as much on Twitter because that's more just about me and my goofy life and not so much about the political world that we all travel in.
Yeah.
And so about a year ago, I thought, you know what, I want to get back to the political writing as well. So I started up another one, and I've been sticking with it ever since. And I try to be consistent and get something up at least once a week, although it doesn't always work that way.
Hey, Mark, when's the last time you blogged?
Shut up, Josh.
I don't know if I've ever read one of Mark's blogs.
I'm not sure I have either.
Really?
I'm sorry, Mark. No, that's
never mind.
No. That's cruel. That is cruel. Mark, you know, I give Mark a lot of a guff about the whole blogging. A lot of us do, actually. But Mark does a lot of work for the site. And for this show, most of the work is actually done behind the scenes. Many people probably don't know that Mark does a lot of the booking of the guests on the show. And he does a lot of the promotion of Hoosier Access at a lot of these conferences if I'm not able to make it. And he's actually been able to make more of these than I have. So when people think of Hoosier Access nationally, it's kind of funny. They think of Mark. When they think about Hoosier Access locally, they think of me. But when they complain about Hoosier Access, they all complain to Mark. So,
well, so you've got the perfect setup.
Yeah, I really do. He's legitimately the person who runs the complaint department. Is that about right, Mark?
Pretty much.
And he tells everybody to screw off.
So he's consistent.
No, he is. You gotta give it to him. Mark is consistent. So, well, excellent. Now, was this your first Smart Girl Summit that you attended?
Actually,
no, you were there last year, weren't you?
Because I was in St. Louis. My first official political event was Smart Girl Summit 2011 because it was held in St. Louis.
No way.
That made it very convenient. And I had the great good fortune last summer of meeting Mr. Warner and a lot of the other FTR crew, and I don't know. I just fell in with the crowd, if you will, and the rest is history.
We just kind of kept you around. Well, you're a popular one, Susie.
Oh,
well of course, and you got the cool Twitter name, Smoozy Q. I mean, seriously. And you're willing to travel. We've had many indie cons. For those who are in the Midwest, you know, we make Indianapolis our central hub, and we pull in people from, like, Susie from Missouri. We get people from Illinois and sometimes from Michigan. Sometimes Duke will grace us. I'm sure that's what he's thinking he's doing.
Oh, but let's
be honest.
Usually, if you bribe him with bourbon, he's a sure thing then.
Yeah. Mark, how do you feel about when Duke shows up?
I don't like Duke.
Now, Mark, I have a picture of the two of you together from Smart Girl Summit that tells us otherwise.
That was not a loving hug.
Oh, it looked like it.
No, it wasn't.
Wait, was this posted to Facebook? Because I feel like I've missed this one.
Oh, it's in the group on Facebook that I posted it on my page, and I'm sure I tweeted it at the time as well, but I can send it to you too.
Oh, I might have a new background to my computer.
It's very loving.
An embrace between Mark and Duke.
Mm-hmm. It was very sweet.
I'm sure it was.
It wasn't embracing. I don't like Duke. I don't like Brodigan.
What do you
the
have?
The only FTR personality I really like anymore is Fingers.
Hey, Susie's an FTR personality now.
It's true. Well, yes, you may not like me anymore.
She just became a part of it, so she's exempt.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm in that kind of probationary period where I can still be in good graces.
Yeah.
Fingers
is really the only... It's a sad state, sad day when I can only like Fingers.
And he works for my show. He doesn't even like me.
No, you're right. Hey, at least I'm consistent.
No, exactly.
That's right.
No, and that's what we've said already at this point. Mark is at least consistent.
Yes.
People call me a racist. I just hate everyone. It's across the board.
Yeah.
It makes it easier. It
doesn't just single out one group. It's everyone.
Right. It's across the board. It makes it just, yeah. Why not?
Oh, this is just
racist. No, I hate everyone. It's just, I don't care what color you are. I hate you all.
I hate you all just the same.
Y'all can just go to hell.
Oh, that's what we love about Mark, is that he's an all-encompassing hater. Mark,
and now I'm watching Seinfeld.
What?
God, I love this show.
Wait, you're watching Seinfeld instead of the Olympics, rooting on Team USA? What, do you hate
America? On my DVR, douchebag. Leave me alone.
Do you hate America, Mark?
Josh,
seriously?
Did you just not hear what I said?
A recording on your DVR.
Putting on my DVR. That way I can fast forward through all the crap.
Well,
I don't have to listen to Matt Lauer. And get right to the women's volleyball.
Well, volleyball, gymnastics, even the swimming. I mean, really, it's,
sure.
You know, it's funny. We've been, we let our kids, at least I let my kids, we watch the Olympics every once in a while. We don't have the TV on too often, but they watch the opening ceremonies. My youngest was freaked out by a balloon.
You put your kids through that opening ceremony?
Well, I was on...
you hate your children, Josh.
I don't... What, it wasn't terrible. I mean, they had...
Josh, that was horrible.
They had a lot of good music.
You're celebrating nationalized healthcare, Josh.
No, I didn't see that because I was on... I was doing my tryout for a particular political website, so I actually missed most of the opening ceremonies.
You didn't miss much.
Well, all I know is I come downstairs and I'm hearing the Stones, I'm hearing the Beatles, I'm hearing the Who. You know, I'm thinking, this is all right. And but anyway, so the kids, they all want to watch the Olympics, and it's funny, every time there is an event on, it's always the women's events. And my son, my daughters love it, but my son is like, when are the boys gonna be on? And seriously, we were watching the synchronized diving earlier tonight, and it's like, when are the boys coming on? I'm like, this is, I don't, go America, all right? We finally medaled, all right? Can't we just be happy for the women who medaled for the first time since the 2000 Sydney Olympics? That's like, that was 8 years before you were born. Come on. Let's be happy. Be happy for the women.
He's not feeling the synchronized diving.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And, well, we gave them like a certain period of time when they could watch the Olympics. And we'll say, okay, you can watch this amount of time. And it just so happened that that was what was on. And we don't have cable, so we can't turn on any other event.
You may need to revisit your scheduling.
We might have to. We might have to. Well, anyway, that's going to do it, actually, for us for this first segment. But we're going to be back more with, hopefully, a chipper mark. And a little bit more from the smoozy queue. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in America politically. So stick around. There's more Gillespie coming up next. Something moving, feeling new.
It is real quiet, muddy water. Hey, fellow conservatives. When you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Mocha Choco, whatever in the wacko latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats. Add HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today.
This is Jedediah Biela, and I'm listening to FTR Radio from the Right Radio online at FTRradio.com.
Welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Guys, we want to talk about a little bit of what's going on in America this past week. And I think that the thing that I got from last week is that apparently chicken is, there are a bunch of, you know, if you like chicken, you're a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
If you like wonderful cookies and cream milkshakes, you're a bigot. Specifically, if you like Chick-fil-A, you're a bigot. Am I getting that wrong? Is that pretty much what the media and the liberals are telling me, that if I like Chick-fil-A, I'm a bigot now?
Oh my God.
Okay. So we're obviously, I think the three of us we like the Chick-fil-A.
I have a confession to start out with.
Uh-oh, you don't like Chick-fil-A, do you?
Well, no, it's not that I don't like it. I've actually never been, and I've been meaning to for a long, long time, and now
wait,
I'm going
what?
To make a point. I know.
What?
Well,
I don't know wait, if we can what? Continue.
Here's the thing, Mark.
What's I'm the not, thing?
I'm not really that big of a chicken fan to begin with, although I will eat it.
You
so I don't go out of my way to get Chick-fil-A.
What? you haven't had chicken until you've had Chick-fil-A.
I understand it's great, and I absolutely have every intention of trying it. And now, especially, I feel like I need to make a point to do so.
I mean, seriously, waffle fries. No other place offers you waffle fries.
And if they do, they suck.
All I ever hear is good things about it, and it's just there's not one real close to me, so I have to make a point to do so, and I plan to do that.
August 1st is when you're going to make your point to do it, because that's Chick-fil-A Appreciation
Day. That's the big day, isn't it?
That is the big day. But I've been to Chick-fil-A a few times since they made their announcement, and I have found nothing but crowded stores. Mark, you got a Chick-fil-A near you. I know they know you there, not just because you're a lover of Chick-fil-A, but because, I mean, you actually know the people there. Have you talked to them at all? And what's your reaction been to the whole thing?
You know, the lefties are just starting to really annoy me. Not that they haven't, but when you have two cities that want to ban Chick-fil-A's because they don't hold your values, your stupid can never be fixed, ever.
Well, you're talking about Chicago and Boston. I mean, you don't have a lot to work with there.
I understand that, but come on. He was asked a question, he gave his opinion, and move on. Now, I mean, it's just, it's Chick-fil-A.
I know.
Really? Like, you're going to go after just don't go if you don't like them. Oh, my God, they're not going to miss you. But, just FYI.
But Mark, we can't think that, you know, the gays are bad.
Josh, you know me well enough.
I know.
That I could give a crap less about this issue. Because I think that our country should focus on fiscal issues. Mm-hmm. But seriously?
Have either of you guys seen the Antoine Dodson videos?
Yeah.
I did not see those. I've seen a couple people mention them, but I haven't seen them.
Okay,
here's the thing with this whole issue. Oh my God. It's a chicken place. Let it go.
Well,
oh my God, I want to slap these people. And I want to slap them hard across the face. And I want to make them hurt.
Mark is violent and bitter tonight.
It's stupid. I mean, okay, then I don't want to see any lefty person ever buy from Amazon.com again. Ever.
Wait.
I swear to God, if I see him buying from Amazon, I'm going to slap him.
A lefty? Jeff Bezos just came out in support of gay marriage. Like,
I know. I don't want to see anybody. No. Amazon.com.
Yeah, Jeff.
Did you not? No. No.
Jeff Bezos.
Did you read that article right?
No, Jeff Bezos owns Amazon.com. Didn't he put like $2.5 million towards marriage equality?
No, against it.
Oh, I thought it was for. I'm going to have to Google that. My bad.
Hold on. I'll get the article.
I was going to say, I have nothing to add on that one because I'm not sure one way or the other.
I'm out.
Hold on.
We're
holding on. Okay, so.
Well, maybe you did. I got that wrong.
Yeah. From the Daily News Journal, Amazon founders support same-sex unions.
The other side of the coin.
Okay,
So, Mark, did you read that article closely?
Well, I did, but there was another one that says that he supported, that he has donated.
Now, the caucus blog from the New York Times, Amazon's founder pledges $2.5 million in support of same-sex marriage.
Mm. Okay. Well, there was one other article about it, too, and I'll have to find it, but.
It's rather interesting, given the fact that Rahm Emanuel, as I read earlier this weekend, hasn't he come out against gay marriage?
Well, his boss used to be against gay marriage until he found out he could raise money from him.
Right. And we know that there was that, you know, that conversion, that evolution of thinking.
Yes. So, well, here's the thing is that, you know, you look at Rahm Emanuel, you look at the mayor of Boston, whose name I can't remember. But they said, well, first of all, Chick-fil-A doesn't have Chicago values. And frankly, I don't want anybody to have Chicago values.
Like, that's a bad thing.
I know.
Why is that a bad thing?
And Chicago then, values. Let's talk about Chicago values. How many governors do they have in prison?
Well, Chicago. Well, Chicago doesn't have a governor, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying Illinois in general. Okay, seriously.
Sorry.
I'm just saying Chicago leads Illinois in their values.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, heck, we even have a county up in northern Indiana that might as well just become Illinois.
Ah, Lake County. God love them.
They've taken Chicago values and lived them up. This whole Chick-fil-A thing pisses me off.
Well, see, what they're doing is they're
just don't go. Just don't go and eat Chick-fil-A. But if you want to live a bitter, stupid, idiotic life, then live it. Don't bring me into it.
But what gets me is that they are penalizing thought. Mm-hmm. And
oh, it's like this photo. I sent this to you.
No, you sent it to the BlogCon group.
It has this lady, and she's like, did you see that I sent to BlogCon?
Yeah, she looks like a vampire.
She was like, it says Democrats, the party of tolerance. Unless you disagree with them, then it's shut the F up, you lying racist hater. And it's so, so true.
It is. It is.
Well,
I think it's interesting how willing a certain segment of the population is to conflate, disagreeing with someone's ideas or beliefs with that being some sort of oppression. I mean, we don't have a situation where this restaurant group was discriminating against people, saying they wouldn't serve them or anything of the sort. It's their leader, their owner, basically expressing his view when asked a question about it. And the company has never been shy about admitting that they are a Christian values company. And whoa, guess what? You know what? Christian values traditionally frown upon the concept of gay marriage. Not a big shocker.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The outrage, you'd think that people were being banned from frequenting the places.
I could see if they kicked out a gay group and they wouldn't. I get that. I mean, that would be a little over the top. But they're not going to do that, and they never will do that.
No,
I'm just saying, they're not going to go out and blatantly just go, oh, we're not going to serve you because you're gay.
And they're not they're not going to not hire someone because of that.
Right. It's not right.
Well, even ACLU came out in support of Chick-fil-A. It's like, if you're going to actually try to prevent them from going into, you know, starting a business simply because of what they believe, then you got to fight on your hands.
Right.
Right.
Because where does
and
that
And that's the thing
to?
Is like, I hate the ACLU. But when they come out on the right side of things, it makes me have a little bit of hope. God, what a stupid thing. It makes me have a little hope. What in the world? Seriously?
You're doing fine, Mark. I know it's a little bit of a buzz, but still, keep on going with your thought.
I have a little bit of hope left for our country when the ACLU comes out and supports Chick-fil-A on this. Chicken place. Stop it. It's just stupid. So what if they don't agree with you? I don't agree with you half the time, so shut up. God, you stupid people.
I think he was actually addressing me there.
Not really, but I can address you if you would like. What is that buzzing sound?
Someone's moving too close to a TV, it sounds like. I don't know. But no, there was an interesting article that I sent you guys just like 5 minutes before we started recording the show. Mm-hmm. But from the New York Times, it's actually something that my wife showed me. And I know you might think, oh, New York Times, boo. But they actually make an interesting point because they talk about how It comes up with an interesting start. It says, the words freedom of belief do not appear in the First Amendment, nor the words freedom of worship. Instead, the Bill of Rights guarantees Americans something that its authors called the freedom, or the free exercise mm-hmm. of religion. And so it basically says, yes, that we are allowed to worship and in the way that we choose. But it goes on to kind of talk about how in America, we like to say, okay, religion has its place in your places of worship, on your particular days of worship, but anywhere else, then no.
Right.
And it says, he talks about, the author here is Ross Douthat, if that's how you say his name. Anyway, Ross here from the Sunday Review of the New York Times says that, like a belief that the gods want human sacrifice, these ideas are permissible if held in private, but they cannot be exercised in ways that might deny, say, employer-provided sterilizations to people who don't really want kids, nor can they be exercised to deny one's offspring the kind of sexual gratification that anti-circumcision advocates, which he makes that claim about something happened in Germany where they basically said that Jews cannot circumcise their children. And that's current. That isn't like World War II ruling. That is current.
No.
But they say that the procedure makes it possible. They certainly cannot be exercised in ways that might make anyone uncomfortable with his or her own sexual choices or identity. It may seem strange that anyone could look around the pornography-saturated, fertility-challenged, family-breakdown-plagued West and see a society menaced by a repressive Puritanism, but it's clear that this perspective is widely and sincerely held. Which just, I was like, really? Seriously? But what was scary is that he goes on, he's like, if you want to fine Catholic hospitals for following Catholic teaching, and this is because he addressed the Obama administration's Obamacare basically forcing Catholic hospitals to provide help me here.
Birth control.
Yes, thank
you. Their health plans, health insurance plans.
Yes. Or prevent Jewish parents from circumcising their sons, or ban Chick-fil-A in Boston, then don't tell religious people that you respect our freedoms. Say what you really think, that the exercise of our religion threatens all that's good and decent, and that you're going to use the levers of power to bend us to your will. There, didn't that feel better? Now we can get on with the fight. But basically he's saying, okay, if this is the argument that you want, go ahead and say it. And are you prepared to take America down that path? And that was kind of a scary thing to think about.
Well, I mean, bully for him for you know, saying that they should take ownership of the what they're really believing. But that's, I mean, we both know that's not really going to happen. It's going to be couched in all this PC stuff.
No, well, exactly. But what I thought was interesting is that, one, that article was in the New York Times, and you have someone who's basically, he's calling the liberal thought to the carpet. He's mm-hmm. like, you can't expect, you know, to have this kind of outrage and be like, okay, you guys, I'm completely cool with you being Christians and such. I'm completely cool with you not wanting to do birth control and whatever, but keep that in your house and in your house of worship and on your days of worship. Don't bring that out into the public.
Right. Don't you dare express it anywhere where I might be exposed to it.
Yeah. It was mind boggling. And basically he's saying that if you do express it, we are going to rain down, you know, we're going to rain down hell on you. And that's mm-hmm. essentially what the
people
liberals are doing with Chick-fil-A.
People have $16 trillion in debt.
Yeah, they're worried about that. Real people are concerned about that.
Yes.
Not that Chick-fil-A doesn't
because
happen like
so
gay people.
Because we're so fucking focused on the stupid shit that we can never get past the real stuff. Ugh.
Well, we are easily distracted by these sorts of topics.
Squirrel! Squirrel!
Hey!
Squirrel!
Seriously. Well, okay, you know.
I'm just telling you, the stupid just needs to stop right now. 10:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, stop the stupid.
Make it so, Mark. Make it so.
And see, here's this. I have a some e-card that I've been meaning to share, and I haven't shared it, but I think it's so appropriate right now that it gets shared. Where is it?
See, this is where I'm glad we're not live, because this thing I could edit out. Now, the question is, am I going to? Because I might be lazy this week because it's kind of late.
Hold on.
So I'm going to keep on talking so that there's not dead air.
We can do that. We can do that.
Yeah.
You know, Josh, one of the things that I've found very frustrating about this whole Chick-fil-A thing is, you know, personally, I am a Christian and I understand Christian teaching on the whole subject of homosexuality and the gay marriage issue. Politically, I'm pure libertarian when it comes to the whole marriage concept. I feel like government has no business in it whatsoever. Whether you're gay, straight, whatever, why is it the government's responsibility to be part of that? And that's not necessarily popular view.
I love you, Susie. I love you.
Thanks, Mark. But I mean, that's my, you know, that's how I feel about it. So when I'm expressing support for Chick-fil-A, it's not because I'm trying to say down with the gays at all. I understand the you know, the position that's being taken, and I do get that. My support for Chick-fil-A is, what the heck is wrong with this guy expressing what his personal views are? If you, again, as Mark has said, if you don't like his views, don't frequent his company. But to raise holy hell over it and act like, you know, it's some horrible discriminatory thing that's been done to a whole segment of the population, it's just ridiculous.
Well, and what's just mind-boggling is that some of these groups that are calling, you know, are calling for, you know, whatever against Chick-fil-A, they're you know, the Centers for Equality, all these pro-gay rights groups. Fine, I don't mind that they exist, but they go around and say that, you know, places like the Family Research Council are terrorist groups, and that Chick-fil-A is funding terrorist groups.
All right, right.
I'm like, the
blowing
hell?
blowing up innocent victims right and left.
Yeah, the hell, man.
So, I love the website someecards.com. And this guy is sitting there, and he's holding like a top hat, and he has a beard, and he has his, you know, hands out. It's like, I'm not saying let's kill all the stupid people. I'm just saying let's remove all the warning labels and let the problem sort itself out.
I've seen that.
A Darwin Awards advocate.
I've seen that, and I support it.
I love it. It's like, yep, pretty much.
I do, too. Even though I'm a lawyer, I support that 100%.
Hey, like, well, you know.
Okay, with a minute left in this segment, Susie, because I know we can sum up our nation's law in a minute. Can you tell me exactly, can Boston and Chick-fil-A, or and Chicago actually keep Chick-fil-A out of their cities legally?
In a word, no. No, they can't. There's no way that they can ban a company on the basis of the beliefs of the company's owners and the way they're expressed. And if there are actual legal discriminatory practices being employed by the companies, that's a legal matter. They'll be sorted out in the courts. But there's no way those cities can ban them. It's a complete violation of the First Amendment.
Well, yeah, especially since they basically said that just because this is what they believe, we won't let them in. I mean, they kind of played their hand.
Yeah. I mean, I that was a stupid move. I don't know who advises them, but that was just a stupid move.
Well, we are dealing with liberals here, Susie.
True.
Anyway, well, we've pretty much exhausted this topic, and we're exhausted even talking about it. So
it's wearing me out.
So we're going to move on, and we will be right back after this. More with Mark and Susie and me, Josh Gillespie. Coming up next, we'll be right back after this.
Deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut, both for your family budget and the national budget, resulting from a permanent basic reform and reduction in our rate structure. A creative tax cut, creating more jobs and income, and eventually more revenue.
Buddy, where's the spatula?
Okay, kids, let's go. There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City! A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City! And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatulas so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
Spatula City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
Hey, I'm Essie Cupp. You're listening to FTR Radio, from the Right Radio, online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With me is Mark Warner and the Smoozy Q, Susie Moore. Okay, guys, we've talked about Chick-fil-A. We've talked about Smart Girl Summit. But something came out tonight. We're recording on Sunday, even though the show airs on Tuesday. We're recording on Sunday night. Something has come out over the weekend. First view of the Daily Caller. They removed the article, but they put it back. And apparently it is a story that is, this is kind of a bombshell. The headline from the Daily Caller is, book, Obama canceled Bin Laden kill raid 3 times at Jarrett's urging. And that'd be Valerie Jarrett. Quote, at the urging of Valerie Jarrett, President Barack Obama canceled the operation to kill Osama bin Laden on 3 separate occasions before finally approving the May 2nd, 2011 Navy SEAL mission, according to an explosive new book scheduled for release on August 22nd. The Daily Caller has seen a portion of the chapter in which the stunning revelation appears. I mean, this from a guy who Joe Biden once claimed President Barack Obama possesses a backbone like a ramrod.
Mm-hmm.
And that Mitt Romney would not do what he did. Okay. The guy masterminded the deaths of over 3,000 innocent lives. And the president says, no. 3 separate times. And apparently it came out that, yes, he had an opportunity to get Osama bin Laden a couple of other times, but he claimed it was the weather. That the weather wasn't quite right, but the guy who wrote this book, he says that he actually went back and checked the weather conditions. It says here, but when Miniter, the author, hold on here, the author's name is Richard Miniter. He says, when Miniter obtained the day's weather reports from the U.S. Air Force Combat Meteorological Center, he said they showed ideal conditions for the SEALs to carry out their orders. And yet he waited until May. He had a chance to get them in January, February, and March. And those 3 separate occasions, his advisor, Valerie Jarrett, persuaded him to hold off. What do you guys make of that?
Well, first thing that comes to my mind is why? What's going on there? What's the agenda there? Hers, his, I mean, it raises that question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make the claim that the guy is dead. Okay, so this really isn't an issue. That the president did get Osama bin Laden, regardless of whether he had a chance to get him 3 separate times, doesn't matter. Right. Osama bin Laden was captured, well, killed and captured. So why are we even having this discussion? But, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And I can assume that there may have been And again, I know that this probably sounds just almost heretical to the listeners out there, to our strong conservative base, that the White House might have a legitimate reason for holding off. But what if there was? You know, I am not the kind of person who is going to say, you know, damn the president for not going after Osama bin Laden the first chance that he had.
Hey, I don't know what to think of this, but I honestly, I don't know. I just don't think there should be a story. I mean, if he did something wrong and waited on it, there had to have been a reason, and it had to have been a very good reason. And we never know. I don't care who the president of the United States is. We never know what's being said in that Situation Room. And there's a reason why we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not our role to know. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment. I mean, some people are. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, the president, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? Do you know the whole story? Really?
No, that's, I mean, we only have a portion of the story.
I don't agree with the president on a lot of things. But if he did something wrong, fine. Well, you know, he needs to pay that price for that part of it. But to go after Osama bin Laden like he did and get him like the SEALs did, you just don't. And especially in a situation like that, you don't know the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Not everything has a political bent to it.
And
that's the thing, is that, and this is something that we were talking a little bit about off the air before we came back, was just how we tend to have this reactionary attitude towards things. And that just because the president is a Democrat, that we happen to disagree with the vast majority of what he does, we are going to respond in a way that when something like this comes out, just with, you know, all hell is going to break loose on our side. It's not, to me, this is almost, there doesn't seem the reaction to what conservatives might be doing to the president at this time. And granted, again, we're recording this on Sunday night. We don't know what's going to come out on Monday on Twitter, or what we're going to hear on the you know, from the talking heads. But to me, this isn't too different from what the Chick-fil-A thing is. That, you know, the left hears something that they don't like, they go batshit crazy. And here, we're hearing something that the right is not going to like, that we had three chances to kill Osama bin Laden before we finally got him, and we're going to go batshit crazy.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, that's probably what's going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me if that's what's going to happen, but there is...
Oh, it will.
But there's probably a reason. Again, I am willing, and I know I'll probably catch flack for this, but I am willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt on something of a matter this important.
There may very well be a legitimate reason, and my hesitation about this story before going batshit crazy and going to that level, mm-hmm. Is that we don't know what that is, and people jump all over this, and it turns out there were really legitimate reasons that come out, and ends up, you know, you end up with egg on your face because you went batshit crazy over it. So I'm always one of those, not, I shouldn't say always, but most of the time I try to find out a little bit more before I jump off the cliff with everybody. That said, you know, the thing that comes to my mind about this, I can think of only a couple of things that this president has done or said that I've really been like, okay, I'm with you on this. You did the right thing here. I'm with you 100% on this. And this was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Taking out bin Laden needed to be done. I congratulate him for doing it. My concern about this, though, is now that that's been used as a feather in his cap and is used to kind of prop him up as the big tough guy and the gutsy call guy.
Mm-hmm.
If the hesitation, if the reason for the delay was because of something that's not legitimate, I mean, it totally drives a stake in the heart of that whole, that image that he's trying to portray.
Yeah.
So I'm curious now. I want to know, why was it delayed?
I am too. And you know, we don't have a whole copy of the book. We're only seeing the Daily Caller's only seeing a portion. The book comes out later in August. And I mean, obviously this does seem like it's an election ploy. I mean, I don't know if the author has that particular bent that he's trying to mess with the election by causing doubt in the voters' minds. I don't want to kind of project that kind of, you know, possibility out there, but I mean, I'm sure that this is going to cross some people's minds, and I'll put the question towards you guys. Do you think that something like this could play out in the election, that this could, I don't know. I mean, it changed minds of voters.
It should play out in the election. I think we need to be talking again, squirrel.
But this is
talking about. Okay, first of all, Obamacare. Mm-hmm. The Senate hasn't passed a budget in over 1,500 days. The Republicans in Congress have offered how many budgets, Josh?
We have offered, I think, our third. We took over in 11, so 11, 12. Okay, we've offered two. We had two Ryan budgets.
Okay, so we've offered budgets. The Senate has refused to look at them, talk about them. Okay, we have a president who just blatantly ignores what we're trying to do and does things on his own and doesn't ask for any authority or approval. He just does it.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we talk about this? Bin Laden is dead. He's gone. Move on.
Well,
he's gone. Let it go.
Well, here's the devil's advocate.
Squirrel, and we get thrown off by it, and we don't. And see, here's why Democrats win. Mm-hmm. Because their DNC, their caucus, their Senate, every one of their campaigns, they all stay on that message. And their supporters and their followers, they all stay on that message.
Mm-hmm.
The RNC, Mitt Romney, they have a message. Our state party has a message. But we have people out here that get off message. And we don't stay on message. There is, I'm not going to say what campaign it is, but there is a campaign going on right now that they keep their message so close and so protected that their campaign stays on message.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know why that is? Because their message will never get flopped out there.
Mm-hmm.
It will get put out there, and it'll stay out there. It will never get twisted. It'll never get put. It won't. It'll get twisted by the opponents.
Oh, sure.
But the supporters will never twist it, because all they have is what they get.
Mm-hmm.
That is how every campaign should be ran, is their message should be protected and close to the vest, and that message stays on target with those supporters. And if we keep the squirrel, mm-hmm, everything, we lose.
But okay, just to play devil's advocate here, but couldn't you say that this actually is a major issue? It's a defense issue.
It could be a defense issue, but we do not play that card at all until we know all the facts. And Josh,
now I'm with you.
Know as well, just as well as I do, you will never know all the facts, because stuff that says said in the Situation Room stays in that room.
No, exactly. No,
and you know that Valerie Jarrett had those conversations with him in that Situation Room.
Mm-hmm.
You know it.
Yeah. No, I do, and I think that this is kind of a squirrel issue. I think it'll probably be used to try to demonize the president, but I would hope that the RNC and the Romney campaign, as I'm sure that they are likely to do, will be very careful in how they use this kind of information if it is indeed legit.
I'm not saying it's not legit. I'm just saying know the facts before we go throwing. It's just anyway.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know right now how legit it is. If it's just a matter of, you know, if it is a bombshell, if it truly is one, if it comes out that he lost his nerve and he wasn't going to make this call and didn't want to. I mean, there were rumors at the time that he was reluctant to go through with this.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what it's about, well, then yeah, that could be, could have an effect, and it could be important. I mean, right. You know, the economy is the number one issue, but if you've got a guy who's leading our country who doesn't have the nerve and basically had to be pushed into something like this, then that's something that we need to know. But right. Since we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, I'm not going to jump all over this until we do know a little bit more.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that if we do get more information about this, that we don't see another one of those 3 a.m. commercials.
Right.
That'll be fun.
Those were so dumb. What would you do if your phone rang at 3 a.m. in the morning and you had to make a decision? If my phone rings at 3 a.m. in the morning and I answer it, it better be damn important. Otherwise, they're not going to like my decision.
Well, let's hope whoever's calling the president at 3 a.m. has an important reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mr. President, the toilet overflooded in the Situation Room. What do we do? Really? I don't know what to do. Just call the plumber.
Well, here's what's funny.
Leave me out of it. Yeah, Josh, I don't know. I mean, we're going into August right now. So is this story going to have legs, you know, for the next 3 months? Not unless there's really something sinister that went on here.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. I completely agree. It'll be interesting to, you know, when the book comes out, because it comes out about, you know, just a week before the RNC convention. So right. We'll see if this plays out at all, and I would hope upon hope that people are very careful with this particular kind of information. What's interesting is that apparently the book, according to the Daily Caller, also concerns the push to pass the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. The president, Miniter said, was less interested than then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in passing his own signature legislative achievement.
Really?
So what's interesting, and maybe what that this book is trying to push, I mean, the book is called Leading from Behind, The Reluctant President and the Advisors Who Decide for Him, is that, I mean, Obama, you know, the guy is just not a decision maker.
No.
Even on stuff he does, he cares about, he's not a decision maker. So it's an interesting kind of way to look at this, and obviously they're trying to paint him as a very hesitant president, which, I mean, honestly, if you're in a world leader, you do kind of want to be hesitant about certain things. But I mean, if you're talking about your signature legislation,
right,
you know, something that the Democrat Party has been trying to pass for over 100 years, you'd think you'd be a little bit more psyched up for it.
You'd think. But didn't the whole Leading from Behind, wasn't it him that said that? Or am I remembering wrong?
Or as I like to say in political circles, misremembering.
I might be misremembering that, but I thought that phrase came from him. And if so, I mean, I think that's, you know, the book could be very, you know, could be very telling in that regard, maybe showing that that's really his philosophy and why it doesn't work.
Yeah, could be. Oh, guys. Well, this has just been in a kind of an interesting way to look at... Well, welcome, Susie. Welcome to our show.
Thanks.
Susie, it's so nice to have you on this show.
It's nice to be here, guys.
Finally, someone who agrees with me on an issue.
Hey, Mark, I think you find we probably agree on a lot of issues, Mark.
I know.
Mark, I don't disagree with you all
Josh
the time.
Josh is going to be all alone.
Mark, I don't disagree with you all the time.
Josh Gillespie, really?
I said not all the time.
I'm saying on certain issues, you're like, Warner, that's not right. I'm like, it's Josh, that's the way it is. Shut up, suck it up.
Well, it's because that is the idealist in me.
Really, Gillespie?
Hey,
that's what gives the show its necessary tension.
Yes.
The good thing.
The good, yeah. See, Mark, it's a good thing. So, you know, just shut the F up, all right?
Whatever.
Well, we've obviously come to the end of another hour of excellence. We've come to the close of another hour of excellence here on FTR Radio. Since we do have a new crew member here, I thought it's about time that we actually finally, you know, told people where they can find us on the internet, because we never talk about that. We're so good at self-promotion.
Right.
So, Susie, since you're new to the cast, where can people find you on the internets?
They can find me at SmoozyQ. That's SMOOSIEQ on Twitter. And they can find my blog at Q, the letter Q, with a view.wordpress.com.
And Mark, where can people, when you want them to actually talk to you and communicate with you?
I don't want them to communicate with me, Josh.
Because you hate them already.
I hate people.
Is that real M. Warner? Isn't that where...
Oh, Susie, don't start.
Thank you, Smoozy.
I love you, but now you just started.
I was just asking.
Oh, now you just hit the list. Actually, I don't. It's mwarner95 on Twitter.
Yeah, so if you actually want to communicate with Mark, mwarner95, you can find me at Josh Gillespie. You can catch me on the web at joshgillespie.com, as well as hoosieraccess.com, where you will find Mark behind the scenes. You might not see him up front, but you will see he is there. Trust me.
Working diligently.
Working diligently, making sure that Hoosier Access is a known commodity. And so we appreciate that for him. So you can also find more podcasts of the show at joshgillespie.com. They are also found at facebook.com/thejoshgillespie. And so, yeah, that's basically been our show. Welcome, Smoozy.
Thanks. And glad to be here.
And Mark, we hope you have a better week.
Yes, we do.
Stay tuned for the Snark Factor with the Snark Factor players. We'll be back next Tuesday, and thanks. See you again later. Good night. Don't speak like you used to. Where do we go to now that our comfort is gone? Pick up the receiver, 'cause I wanna hear.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?